You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is up, y'all? Y'all know who it is. It's Missy Bird from season 39. I'm out here trying to live my best life in Spain, but I had to phone in real quick to make sure everybody catches this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. And this time, I am drinking my wine on a balcony in España. All right, I'll catch y'all later. It's a Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, welcome to episode 87, Bermuda Triangle of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and shout out to you for clicking that play button and getting into this week's episode of the podcast. Shout out to all my first listeners out there. What it do? What's up? What's going on to my Purple Pants posse? Welcome back to episode 86. Now, wait a minute. It's been a while, but wait a minute. Give me a minute while your baby boy wet his whistle. I am wetting my whistle to my sister, Erica. She makes a punch that baby. We'll punch your grandmama out. So shout out to Erica for this punch. And yeah, so we wetting our whistle this episode. So we letting our hair down. We're having a good old time. If you haven't already, if you could be so kind to make sure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify Podcasts. Bay, we're on anywhere that you get your podcasts from. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you could give your baby boy some 5 stars and write a review. Okay, let me clear my throat. If you could do your baby boy a favor and write a review. I really love listening and reading the reviews. And listen, if you write a review, maybe your review will get read on this podcast. Okay? So yes, make sure you do all of that and show your baby boy some love. I am excited for episode 87. Baby, we at 87. Okay. I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to say 87. Some podcasts, they don't even make it to 2. So I am so glad to be your host for this podcast. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, like, baby boy, why you name this podcast Bermuda Triangle? Ooh, do I have a story for y'all? So, listen, earlier in the week, I do some work with Beav. Shout out to Wendell Holland. Shout out to Joey Hatcher, my Beav brothers. And, you know, I try to help out where I can. So this week we had a delivery. Yes, a delivery came unexpected. So I want to give a huge shout out to the My Purple Pants posse members, Jordy and Emily. They got married this weekend and we had the honor of creating the archway in which they got married under. So Wendell is away sometimes during the week. You know, he out there filming for HGTV. Okay, later announcement at a different time. So he got home early on Thursday and we were supposed to make this delivery early Friday morning because Jordy and Emily got married on Friday morning. And, you know, he called me, called Joey. He said, hey, let's get this delivery done tonight. doctor's around 7 o'clock. I'm like, no problem. I can, you know, I don't have to take a sick day at work. So we go over to Wendell's house. We load the truck up and Joey is going to drive. We are going to Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, which is like outside of Lancaster, which is an hour, 30 minutes away. Not that long. So I'm figuring 3 hours at the most. I'll be back home. Baby boy can take a bath. I can watch a movie and, you know, chill for the rest of the night. So we drive an hour and 30 minutes to Mount Joy. We do the install. We hang out with Jordy and Emily and some of their wedding party. And baby, they had a pool. I said, ooh, I love pools. And Jordy was like, you should get in. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep it classy. Emily was like, you should get in. Get in the pool. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep it classy. Because, you know, your baby boy is a class act. Then Wendell and Joey are like, I bet you won't get in. You scared. Baby, listen, my birthday is February. I'm a Pisces. I'm a water sign. I love the water. You know me. I love taking baths. I love jacuzzis. So baby boy jumped in the pool. Whoo! Had a great time. We said our goodbyes and we headed back home. And so it took us an hour and 30 minutes to get there. I'm thinking it'll take us an hour and 30 minutes to get back. Now, let me give you this disclaimer. So when we had to get on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and when we got off the turnpike to get to Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, there was a delay and there was like road construction. So you ever see construction where they have a stop sign and like a slow sign on both ends? And so we got off the exit and the workers put the stop sign up and the traffic from the opposite direction was like coming towards our direction. I'm thinking like, oh my God, what's happening? But you know, it's a detour. 3 minutes later, he flips the sign from stop to slow and we proceed to our destination. So on the way back, we are getting on the turnpike and we're at the same point. And at this point, it's like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I'm in the back seat chilling, listening to the music. And we go through this detour, the opposite of how we came. And we are driving. We're maybe driving 20 minutes. And I remember Joey saying, is this our exit? Like, should I'm not sure if I should get off this exit. And Wendell's like, no, we don't need to. We can keep going straight. And so that's all I remember. Okay, I was listening to the music, zoning out. Baby boy started falling asleep a little bit. So I was dozing off. I woke back up. I look outside my window. Now, I frequent the turnpike when I was a social worker for a child welfare agency. Maybe once every 3 months, I had to drive to Pittsburgh. So I know what the turnpike looked like when we going away from Philly. And I kind of sort of know what the turnpike looked like when we're going towards Philly. And so I wake up. I don't have any really time zones in my mind, but I'm just like, it don't seem like I should wake up and we are still in the woods. And so I'm like, Joey, everything okay? And then Joey's like, I think I might have missed the exit, but we're good. And so I remember at this point, Wendell's like, we're an hour and 20 minutes away from home. And I'm like, an hour and 20 minutes away from home? At this point, we've been in the car longer than 45 minutes. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Now, mind you, Joey got his GPS out and Wendell's in the front seat. And if anybody knows Wendell, he is a control freak. So if you ever drive in a car and Wendell there and you got your GPS out, he gonna have his GPS out too. So I see both of them got their GPSs out and I'm like, okay, we're good. I am just watching out the side of my window and I'm like, what the hell? We still not any closer. So Joey then says, I think we missed the exit and we gotta turn around. But they were doing road work on the turnpike. So there weren't any exits for 25 miles. So we've got to drive another 25 miles. And then, you know, like an hour later, we are now passing that detour that I was telling you guys about at the exit at Mount Joy. But that's like where Jordy and Emily are at. And I'm like, well, if we're at that exit, then we're still an hour and 30 minutes away from Philly. Ciao. We got caught up in the Bermuda Triangle. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know what exit we missed. Who knows? So then after we pass that Mount Joy exit, Joey pull over to the side of the road. He like, listen, y'all, I had a long day. I'm tired. So baby boy got to jump in the front seat and drive back to Philadelphia, which is not a problem because thank God I jumped in the pool that woke me all the way up. But baby, the Bermuda Triangle is real on the Pennsylvania Turnpike at night. So needless to say, on that Thursday night, when we left Philadelphia at 7, 8 p.m., I'm thinking I'll be back home, you know, by 12 o'clock to watch a movie. Baby, I didn't crawl into bed until 4:20 a.m. Whoo! What is going on? But listen, shout out to the guys at Beeve. You know, no matter what Bermuda Triangle happens, I'm still rocking with them. But listen, I had to come tell the posse this story, and I had to name this podcast the Bermuda Triangle because it don't matter. How many GPSs does it take for us to get back to Philly? I want to send a huge congratulations to Jordy and Emily on their wedding. I know that it was beautiful because I was there the night before jumping in the pool. I'm really excited about this week's episode, so let me not get lost in the Bermuda Triangle and let me give you the rundown so y'all got your GPSs on, okay? Somebody got to know where we at. So on this week's episode, we've got the church announcements, and we welcome back on the menu this week, Amon Aldwin for the casual tea. And this week, we are brewing up the tea of Lamar Burton from Reading Rainbow. We got Khloe Kardashian on the casual tea. We got DMX. We've got City Boy J and Prince Philip. So that is definitely a casual tea you don't want to miss. We welcome back Gangsta Gray for your April forecast of the Purple Pants Premonitions. And I've got the Freak of the Week. So listen, make sure your GPS is loaded. Don't trust Joey's GPS. And definitely don't trust Wendell's GPS because we get in the church announcements started.
Hi, everyone. This is Mari and Matt from the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. And this week we're bringing you the church announcement.
Yes, we are. And today we are talking about the topic of using your platform, something that Bryce does so well. But Mari, what does using your platform mean to you? Why is that important?
So, you know, we started the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast earlier this year. And one thing that me and you talked about so many times during the podcast process, making the podcast, producing the podcast, is that we wanted our podcast to be authentic to us. We wanted to use our platform to shed light on the issues that matter to us. Even if we're just talking about wrestling, we want to talk about it from a point of view, from our strong point of view and our voices, using our voices. What do you think we've done with this platform? Have you liked how we've utilized our platform, Matt?
Yeah, I've loved how we've utilized it. I mean, for me, like social impact, social justice is so important. Mm-hmm. Outside of just this RHAP world, I feel like I put so much energy into something I created called Let's Care, where I'm interviewing changemakers and trying to talk about these issues that matter. But I think what's really cool is that in using our platform, I mean, we're wrestling fans, and that's something that we've both loved most of our lives. And so for me, what is cool is that regardless of the topic that you're talking about or the thing that you're focused on, you could find ways to make it meaningful and important. Yes. And make a statement about things that people need to hear. I think we have so many problems in the world that we need to address. And so our voices are important. So that's why I love that we're using our platform in the way that we are with the Wrestling Rehab Up.
Yes. And marginalized communities like ours, both of us being Black, you being queer, like our voices are not incorporated in the medium that we've chosen. We've chosen a wrestling podcast. It's very, very hard to find our type of voices in this medium. So not only are we adding to a new perspective, but we just want to use our platform to inspire others to use whatever platform they have or just to use your your voice. Go out, advocate, do more than just the social media advocacy. Donate to charities, donate to action groups. Just use your platform and your voice to make a difference.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I would add is that every single person has their platform. So it might be 5 people who listen to you. It might be 50 people, 50,000 people. Just know that your voice does matter and can actually make a difference. Bryce has been such a positive example of that. And that's one reason that we're so proud and honored to be here as part of the church announcement. So thank you, Bryce, for having us here.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bryce, for having us. You are phenomenal. Bryce was on our Wrestling Rehab Up. He did an It's a Look for WrestleMania 37 this week. So please go and check it out. Come and check us out if you want to hear our perspectives. Thank you so much, Bryce. Thank you, Purple Pants Posse.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. 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 It's a casual tea.
It's the casual tea. It's the casual tea. It's the casual tea. It's the casual tea. It's the casual tea.
It's the casual tea. I will not be undone, even if I have strep throat right now.
A man knows how to get under my skin. But listen, okay, you can have that riff run, okay? But we all know who had it last week. But keeping the menu rolling, we are back again for this week's edition of the Casual Tea. Welcome back to the podcast, the baby boy, Amon. How are you? Ooh, you said you had the strap. How you doing?
Yes, so just a public service announcement. Like, yes, we are happy that these vaccines are getting rolled out in an effective way in some of these states, not everywhere. So I sympathize with those that are still waiting long, long times. But even if you do get fully vaccinated, and even if you're not fully vaccinated, as you should have already been doing in the first place, wash your hands, wear masks when you are outside, avoid touching your throat.
The casual tea just went after dark.
Freudian slip, my bad. Avoid touching your nose, your eyes, your mouth, all of that stuff. Like, you know, carry some hand sanitizer on you, you know? Just be as safe as possible, because here I was feeling so good because I was like, damn it, I got both these vaccines. Like, I'm invincible. Well, I didn't think I was invincible because, you know, vaccines, everything's 100%.
Child, they only 6 months, they saying.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I don't have full assurance, but I was a lot more relieved. And then wham, I get strep throat. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm not sure how I got it. I was more or less doing the same kind of like routine. I did go out like a bit more over the weekend. But it was only to people's houses. So I was like, I think that I'll probably be okay if I'm not in large crowds. And nope, still got sick. And it was a doozy the first couple of days. I'm doing a lot better now. I did get some steroids and I'm on antibiotics. So I'm good. I feel so much better today. I don't really have any soreness in my throat, but I still like have like a bit of like night sweats and like just my body's still trying to fight it. So not all the way back there yet, but yeah, just be careful out there, folks. Take care of yourselves.
Yes. Watch what is in the back of your throat. Okay. Be careful. But I'm glad that you are on the mend, and I hope that you are feeling better because strep throat ain't nothing to play with.
No, it's not. Oh my God. It sucks.
I had strep throat one time and I still have night terrors about it. But you know, keeping the casualty, okay, ain't no strep gonna stop us from getting our step on in this week's casualty. I do want to take a second to reflect since I have you. Our last casualty, Living Your Truth, really seemed to touch a lot of the Purple Pants posse and a lot of listeners that don't normally listen. And I just was curious to hear your thoughts on the episode. And, you know, just from just your perspective after re-listening to it and just the response of it was so crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I used to listen to a lot of the podcasts that I've been on at the beginning of my podcasting career because you're really trying to learn who you are and what you sound like. But as time has gone on, I've sort of, like, fallen out of that habit.
Okay.
But, yeah, when I do get particularly good responses from people, I'll be like, oh, let me see what the hell I was talking about. Because sometimes you just right. talk and you forget.
That is me. Oh my God. That is so me. I'd be like, I said what?
So I went back and I was like, you know what? Yeah, we were really going in. And I think, yeah, I did get positive feedback, from quite a few people. I just echo everything that we already said, and I'm just excited that people were able to hear this type of conversation, because I got a lot of comments that this is like the first time that people that I've ever even actually thought or had to think about this, you know what I mean? So, and even other queer people that are not black that were able to
right.
comment and say like, look, like I may not be black, but I understood a lot of what you guys were saying, and I just thank you guys so much for like bringing nuanced and balanced perspective to these types of conversation. And I just want to like say that these types of conversations are not new, at least for people like me and Bryce, or Bryce and I, sorry, I'm trying to be grammatically correct. I know that like these types of, like, if you are looking for more diverse queer voices or just voices from people of color, they're out there, y'all. Like, you just gotta sort of have to put yourself out there to do the research to find these stories if you would like to have more experiences brought to life. Because I think that just enriches everybody, like, you know, ourselves included. Like, I'm black and gay. I don't necessarily know what it feels like to be Chinese and gay or Asian and gay or just regular Asian and gay. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
We should all be doing our best to go out and seek as many types of experiences as possible so that we can bring better conversations back to the table and help us just understand each other a lot more. A friend of mine texted me and said, oh my God, Montero, Call Me By Your Name is so good. And I don't know if it's because he's been following my tweets or if he, but I know that he also listens to Purple Pants podcast. So
yes.
I'm going to go ahead and take that as he listened to Purple yes. Pants podcast because he,
hey friend.
So yeah, we out here being evangelists and
yes, come on. Okay. I'm the first lady of the Purple Pants podcast and you a deacon. One thing for me that really because in the moment I was like you, I don't know what the hell I said. Because truly I was just like, it just came out of me. And a lot of what I got back from was like even people that aren't in the LGBTQ, what they were able to take from it. And like, you know, I'm probably saying this word wrong because y'all know how, you know, but that the heteronormative that's expected of people. And like who created this timeline? And it was just so crazy that us, like, being so vulnerable and living in our truth, it was just able to transcend, not even had to do with being gay. It was just so many, like, you know, cisgender male and females that reached out to me and were like, wow, it's you. That subject really made me think about, you know, I am working on my doctorate program and I get so much pressure from my family about getting married and having kids. And that listening to you guys really just let me know to, like, stay on my path, stay on my course. And, you know, what is for me is for me, and what my timeline is my timeline. And for me, that really, like, it just was so eye-opening that I hadn't even taken it there. So it was, like, just great. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And I love to have more conversations with you and other people, because I feel like that subject just can't be talked about enough. And so I'm just happy that we're able to curate a space here on the Purple Pants podcast that those conversations can organically happen. Like, that wasn't nothing planned. That wasn't, like, you know, the spirit was just moving. So I loved it. We love your feedback. And if you haven't, please go back and take a listen to Living Your Truth. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be gay for it to apply to you. You can truly get something out of it. But we got, you know, the teapot been brewing, and we got a lot of different things mm-hmm. to talk about on this week's Casual Tea. And one of the first ones that I think is great, hold on, wait, let me get my little intro together.
I can go twice as high. Yes. Take a look,
it's in a book,
a reading rainbow.
So, yes, if you...
Reading Rainbow.
It's the show off for me. But, so, if you guys don't know what that theme song is, you're probably too young for me. But that is the soundtrack to my childhood. That is Reading Rainbow, which was hosted by LeVar Burton. And LeVar Burton he's an actor, he's a activist, he is champions for education in minority communities, he champions education for everyone. And so who doesn't love LeVar Burton? He's essentially like our uncle in all of our heads. And we just, like, you know, love LeVar Burton. And we know with Jeopardy, when the host of Jeopardy, rest his soul, Alex Trebek, passed, there was all these conversations about, like, who should be replace him. Now, a lot of people were like, Jeopardy should just end because nobody can replace Alex. Now, I kind of sort of agree with that because, you know, some things are just so iconic that you just can't replace people. And I think that Alex did a great job. But after Alex had passed, there was, like, this trend on Twitter about LeVar Burton needs to be the host. And when I thought about that, I was like, oh, my God, that act, like, he would be amazing. And so I just want to read a little passage that LeVar did with Entertainment Tonight. He said, I thought and I thought and I thought. I've asked friends and family to help me identify somebody who's more qualified for the job than I am. The Roots and Star Trek actor tells EW, I don't believe there's anyone out there who is better suited for this job than me. I will go to my grave believing that. I think my whole career is an advertisement for being the host of Jeopardy. And LeVar took to his Twitter on April 5th, and people had actually started a petition to say, get LeVar as the host. And, you know, he always liked the tweet and whatever, but, you know, on April 5th, he actually tweeted the petition and it said, leaving this here in the event the powers that be are listening. And I love that, because here on the podcast and my life, I'm all about manifest what you want, speak things into existence. And so the fact that LeVar is now on board with saying that, listen, this is something that I want and I'm going to put it out into the universe. I honestly can't think of anyone better than LeVar to be the host of Jeopardy. And even, like, going a step deeper, when we think about, like, the divide of this country and everyone is, you know, at each other's wits' ends about the craziest stuff, and a time to bring people together, like, what better way than to have a black man who has like been our teacher, our tutor, our friend throughout so many countless people's lives to take the place, to like, you know, not take the place, but like to continue the legacy in his own right. I just think that it could be, it could and would be amazing. And I would so be here for LeVar to be the host of Jeopardy.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, too. I think that he pitched himself very well. You know, I mean, he says, I have an audience with Gen Xers. I have an audience with millennials. I've spent time on television hosting this very popular show for over 20 years. So I have all of the expertise and the knowledge to sort of, you know, take over this mantle. So I agree. I think that he would be great. I mean, I'm sure if we all sat down and went through the resumes of all of the people that have had hosting careers in their lifetimes, I'm sure we could probably find some other really good contenders as well. But there are, as far as I'm concerned, there's no other good contenders that are out here pitching themselves and putting the time in to make this a possibility for themselves other than LeVar. So it's LeVar. Like, who would you rather give it to? Would you rather give it to the person that's out here really vying for the spot? Or are you going to just give it to somebody else because for whatever reason? The one caveat that I have to this is, so I'm starting to have a little bit of an issue with, So now I understand that this particular situation is just a little bit different because there seems to be this growing trend of audience and fans of particular shows and franchises wanting to have their foot in the door at a casting office. So they will start these big, big, big campaigns to get their faves and their favorite celebrities and their favorite singers to do something, right? Like you see it with Standom all the time on Twitter, where you have fans that are like, oh my God, Ariana Grande, you need to do this remix with Doja Cat. Like, it needs to happen. Do it right now. And then when it gets so much traction online, that artist then feels compelled to be like, okay, well, maybe I should do it. And then the same thing with Hollywood in terms of like movies and stuff. There was such a big, big, big push for Queen Latifah to play the role of Ursula in the upcoming Little Mermaid remake. Didn't actually happen, but Disney did give her the role in the live musical version on ABC. And so there is a piece to me that feels just a tad bit uncomfortable with that, because then what it does is it gets all of these celebrities thinking that they can just get any role that they want or cause enough controversy as long as they drum up enough fan support to get what they want. And to me, I'm like,
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I don't want that road to go down so far that it's like to the point where the audience seems to have more control over how things pan out than they should. And don't get me wrong, I am all for catering to an audience. I am all for making sure that your movie is the most appealing that it can be. But not everybody needs to be involved in casting. You know what I mean? Not everybody needs to be like, we don't all need to be up in these decisions. But I will say that the difference with LeVar is that this seems to be more of him doing it, not necessarily the fans are out here. But the fans, of course, are supporting it.
I think it's a little bit of both, because in the beginning, it was the fans. Like, after Alex passed, the fans were really on the Twitter. Like, the fans started the petition. And he kind of, he didn't really, like, he ain't really promoted. It's not until right now that he actually is coming out and tweeted the petition. So I agree with you in the sense that, like, yeah, we don't need to be up in this. So I don't know. So the caveat for me, though, now this is my take on it. I agree. Like, we don't need to be in the casting. Let them do their jobs. However, for me, the issue comes in is that if the fans don't speak out and the fans don't really kind of like shed light on some things, then we get the same old, same old. We get the same old, like, you know, sometimes there is a lack of diversity, and sometimes these studio productions want to see a, like, you know, for the Little Mermaid, like how the fans came out and I forget what was the actress name that they picked for the Little Mermaid. Like, you know, they picked a black girl.
And Halle Bailey.
Yes. Halle. Chloe and Holly. And so, like, you know, and people are like, oh my God, the Little Mermaid, she's not black. Like, well, girl, well, what, like, you know, so I sometimes I do like the fact that the fans are saying, like, no, why, especially for these animated roles, they have no color. So why not, why can't she be a black girl? Why can't little black girls look up to them and say, like, this is what you could be? So sometimes I do feel like the pressure of the public, and especially when it is diversifying the catalog, can be great. But at the same time, you're right, like these people like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande, who have these massive fan bases, child, they could be everything then, child. If let the fans tell it, Ariana Grande could replace Oprah. So I do feel like there is a fine line.
Oprah.
I'm just saying, she's got the fan base that they could like want that. But I do think there is like, it's almost like a perfect storm in the sense of,
right,
LeVar, like you said, his whole career has been almost an audition for Jeopardy. And it's like,
he's also, apparently he's a former Jeopardy champion.
Yes. LeVar know his stuff. If it's in a book, it's read and write. Like, you know, so there definitely is a fine line. But, and I agree with you, sometimes it's like, child, leave it to Iman. Devon would be, you know, up in any and everything, although she should be. But, you know, I agree that there is something uncomfortable with the fans just being like, this should be it. But at the same token, if they go and watch it and buy it, I mean, this is a money-making industry.
Yeah, it's like such a, it's a, like you said, it's really like a balancing act. It's like how much, like, of course we want the fans to be happy, but at the same time, we have to make decisions that are best for us and like the vision of the show that we want to have going forward. So I'm glad that he's being such an advocate for himself. I'm glad that like, this was something that could potentially be in the cards, because as far as we know, they haven't talked to the public about it, but I don't think there really is anyone else that's really in heavy talks to be a part of the show. I would just hate for, if it didn't happen, that whoever does take up the mantle, for them to be like, oh, it should have been this, like, screw Jeopardy, like, we're never watching this shit again. Although I don't think that would ever happen, because I feel like Jeopardy is just sort of just like such a staple that it's just like, people are always gonna watch it regardless. Some fans just get so mad. Like, I remember when they announced the live action movie for the Magic School Bus, and there was like this huge push for oh my goodness, why am I having such a hard time with names today? What is her name? Tracy Ellis Ross. There was a huge push for Tracy Ellis Ross to be Miss Frizzle. And even Tracy she was like, you know what? Like, call me. Like, I'm here for it. And lo and behold, I think it's going to be like Reese Witherspoon or something. And people are like, where the hell did that come from? And I'm like, well, as far as we know, that could have been the choice from jump. And we just didn't hear about it until now. So I just think that fans, of course, yeah, support your faves, but also temper your expectations, because sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, because at the end of the day, Hollywood is a business and it just is what it is. But I'm all for LeVar getting this shit, because, yeah, like, I mean, this is right up his alley.
Right up his alley. Uncle Varvar. Now, my only other caveat to that is, with the fandoms just putting their faves in, it doesn't leave much room for the unknown stars that are out
that
there.
Too.
Like, you know, I love LeVar, but there really could be somebody's real uncle out there who it would be great, and we would never know because he's not giving the opportunity. So I am all for discovering new acts and, like, you know, giving something to the underdogs. So I am definitely with you. I definitely think the fans should, like, make 20% of, like, the decision up, or, like, you know, but also giving it to some well-deserved unnamed person out there, because there are so many unnamed talents and stars, Amon and Bryce, out there that, you know, mainstream does not know, and that if the light was to be shed on them, that could change their lives and their careers. So it is definitely a, I don't know, what's that thing? Now, I don't know why. It's like at the playground, like, you sit on one side, a teeter-tot.
The seesaw.
The seesaw. You know, it's definitely a seesaw act to kind of sort of get the right balance. And so I always think that it should be somebody that has the resume, somebody that had that people like, and that is talented. And I think that the talent above all should be the main part of the decision. And I think here Uncle Varvar by far has the talent. So I am definitely here for Uncle Varvar for it. And yeah, so we'll wait and see. But I just thought this was such an interesting topic to talk about, because who hasn't had the like the Reading Rainbow? Who hasn't heard of the Reading Rainbow? Who hasn't heard of Jeopardy? And like, you know, after, you know, the great late Alex has passed, why not pass it on to another person who has been in education, who has been a champion of, you know, literacy, who has been a champion of making sure the underprivileged kids get the same access to technology and education as others? Like, you know, it just, for me, it just seems right. So I love it, and I hope that my fingers are definitely crossed for Uncle Varvar.
Yep, yep, I think so too, because, like, yeah, like, and, like, don't get me wrong, there are certainly people out there that I'm a fan of, and I have faves. I was like, oh, man, like, speaking of The Little Mermaid, exactly, perfect example again, because there was a time, like, after Halle Bailey got announced, there was a time where Harry Styles, who I'm such a big fan of his second album, like, it turned me into a Harry Styles stan. It's so good. There was a time where he was in talks to be Prince Eric, and a lot of people just were like, no, like, it should be, if you're gonna make her black, then the prince should be black, and, like, we're not, like, why can't we have, like, a black Disney couple? Why are we always getting, like, these mixed or these white couples, which I understood and I sort of sympathized with, but I also would not have minded seeing, like, I think what they're going for with this, at least as far as I can tell with the casting, is that it's very, like, racially diverse and just sort of, like, blonde, kind of like what the Cinderella was with Brandy. That's what they were going for. And so I was like, all right, if the prince is white, whatever. And so, like, but when Harry Styles and his team caught wind of that controversy, they were like, nope. And I was like, that to me, that's what I'm like, the fans, sometimes, like, y'all really just be getting in, and, like, you never know, you could be ruining a good thing. But on the same flip side to that, now this lesser-known actor has snagged the role, and this could be his breakout thing for him. He's still white, so it's like, I didn't really change anything. Yeah, I didn't really change anything, I just gave it to somebody else. So, but, it is what it is.
Right. So, I'm here for it. So, let's pour some more tea. And, Bebe, this is a transition. Khloe Kardashian. Now, I don't know how I feel about this. And so, I feel a ways. I feel one way. I feel another way. But with the Kardashians, it's just so hard. For me, at times, it's hard to sympathize with the Kardashians because they have such a machine behind them, and you never really know what's real, what's fake, what's delusional, what's not. Like, so it's hard for me to have an opinion on the Kardashians. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Kardashians, and, you know, in my head, I was going to marry Rob Kardashian, you know, big or small. Like, I was, like, here for Rob Kardashian, and I may or may not have two pairs of his, like, $80 socks, but they were Christmas gifts. But, so there was an issue with Khloe where a photo now, backstory of Khloe, which is why Khloe was always one of my favorite Kardashians, because I sort of always saw myself in Khloe. Khloe was, what do they call it? Like, is it the redheaded stepsister, the redheaded stepchild? What's that? Is that,
the ugly stepsister?
Wait, what is it?
The ugly stepsister?
Oh, I thought it was something like the redheaded, I don't know, something.
I think redheaded stepsister is a thing too.
Or something, but not the ugly, not the ugly.
Sorry, I had Cinderella on the brain.
Whew, child, we gonna chalk that up to baby boy's throat attack of the strep. But
the throat
she
attack.
Always, yes, she always was the sister that stood out. You know, Khloe has struggled with her weight. She was once larger, and I always thought Khloe was great when she was bigger, because she always reminded me of, like, a real person. Like, you know, in my family, like, you know, we big boned, like, you know, so I always liked Khloe. But, you know, Khloe has gone through a transformation, whether it be surgical or non, but, you know, she has definitely slimmed down, and, you know, her features have changed, and, you know, that's something that she's really proud of. You know, her transformation. And sure, I'm all about positive body imagery. So, and I'm also all about what somebody's issues are their issues. Like, for me, I struggle with my weight in the sense that, you know, sometimes I, baby boy could put on 30 pounds, like, it's nothing. And, you know, I'm like, oh, if I'm overweight, I'm big. And some people are like, you're not big. You're like, you're fine. But, like, baby, don't, like, what I see in the mirror is what I see in the mirror. So I'm all about people having, like, you know, their own issues and their own, whether you see it or not. Like, you know, what somebody struggles with is what they struggle with. And that's personal to them. So, you know, and that's really been her struggle that she shared with us. And recently a photo had leaked where it was like her in a bathing suit. And me personally, I thought she looked great. But the photo just, and it was recent, like it was in 2021, like it was taken in like March. But the photo just ain't looked like the Instagram. And it became this huge trending topic so much that, you know, she had to go on her Instagram and she was taking videos showing what her body looked like right now. And, you know, she's writing these posts about, let me just read a excerpt of what she wrote on her Instagram or what she told the People magazine. She said that photo was posted this, the photo that was posted this week was beautiful. But as someone who has struggled with body image her whole life, when someone takes a photo of you that isn't flattering, in bad lighting, or captures your body the way it is after working so hard to get it to this point, and then shares it to the world, you should have every right to ask for it not to be shared, no matter who you are, Chloe wrote in a lengthy statement featured in a gallery post, which she also included a video of the reality star showing off her figure in the mirror, as well as clips from her Instagram Live in which she briefly flashed her toned physique to viewers. And, you know, so this is kind of sort of like my problem with it is that I feel like she's spinning the story in a, like, a pot, like, I don't know. I just am, my personal opinion is I feel like she's spinning the story to now make it seem like people are, well, are body shaming her. And I don't necessarily think that people are body shaming her because, you know me, I have a degree in comment surfing. So I was over there on TMZ. I was over there in the shade room. I was over there on her Instagram. And a lot of the people were like celebrating her and saying like, girl, like I got a stretch mark too. I had a baby too. And so for like, I don't know. I feel indifferent. One, I feel like when you are a celebrity of the Kardashians, bitch, you can't control all the time what images go out there. Like you're a celebrity. People are going to snap unflattering photos of you all the time. Now, by no means am I anywhere near close or in the same country as the Kardashians, but there are plenty of times I go to events and the RHAP realm and the Survivor realm, you know, supporting other friends, and people take photos of me and baby, I look a mess. Okay. I look horrible. Okay. I don't look like what I look like, but that's not my, like, you know, I don't have the power to call Instagram and get that photo taken off Instagram. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not something real for me. And so the fact that she has those like, for me, it's just the reach. Like, girl, it's a bad photo. We all take them. How many times have you taken a selfie and, bitch, you didn't take in 3,000 selfies? And, child, the selfie that we pick don't really look like the other 2,099 photos that are actually in our phone. Like, that's something real. So, I just feel like it is Kris Jenner spinning a story for her in the sense of, girl, okay, it's a bit like you don't like the photo, but I just feel like you could have used that photo to be like, listen, this is what I look like when I wake up in the morning and somebody catches me off guard. How many of us have these type of photos?
Right. This is nothing new, right? Because she talks a lot about body issues, like these high beauty standards and ideals that women are forced to comply with, which is something that has been with us for a long time. And what is considered attractive on a woman changes from decade to decade. You know, like it just is what it is. And So when you that part of this conversation is not new, but I think what is sort of new-ish is like this Kardashianism, right? Where you are literally able to convert your body and then use that conversion to make you famous. It's like the fact that you are literally famous for becoming famous because of all of the things that you did. It started with Kim and the whole sex tape thing, and then it ramped up into, oh, look at all these girls slowly becoming more attractive the more and more popular they get and more rich that they get. And now they're able to afford all of these body alterations to make themselves as close to the modern standard of beauty as possible. And so, yes, when the unflattering pictures do come out, it's like, oh, so, like, look, even with some of these body alterations, you still have a very humanistic look to you because you are still a human. And there are very, very few people that naturally look like the things that you see in magazines. And sometimes those people that look very close to it still don't look like that. Like, some of these models, when they be walking off the runway without that makeup and all that glam and stuff on, they be looking real, real regular. And you know what? That is okay.
So okay.
Like, and she talked a lot about, like, how, like, yeah, you know, like, look, you, it's so hard to keep up with these body, standards. Because no matter what, even at the end of the day, as you get old, you're going to age, and you're no longer going to be able to look like that. That's just how it is. And then I think there's like a big, there's an issue that a lot of women go through, and people as well, because men go through something similar as well, where, you know, we all are afraid of aging because we don't, then we stop being considered attractive and hot and young when we get older. And I think that people like to cling on to their good years for as long as possible. And in somebody like Khloe Kardashian's space, like, it's, she already had the narrative of not being the hot one because that was Kim. And so now she has to do everything in her power to make her body the way that she wants it to look. And some of that was working out, and some of it was putting some padding where
some of it was a little surge. Okay, let's talk about that. Some of it's a little surge.
So it's like it's hard. I think it's what makes it hard for people is like what you said earlier in that, like, yeah, we sympathize with what you're going through because there are so many other women out here that do not have the same resources that you have that go through the same thing. And I applaud her for trying to eat healthy and to work out. I think we all should be doing that no matter what size you are. But let's also not pretend that you have money and access and resources, and a lot of your fame is driven by the fact that you are the not hot sister that became hot. You know what I mean? And I think that you're aware of that. Right. A lot of other people are aware of that. And so when these pictures that do come out that aren't flattering, it's like, yes, of course, it's like, yeah, I understand that you don't want it up there, but at the same time, it's like, well, girl, like, maybe this is, like, once again, this should just be, like, another wake-up call for you to be like, you know what, bitch, that's what I look like. So, right. It is what it is. Like, and I'm tired of all this beauty standard shit. Like, yes, I'll put a filter over a photo from time to time. Yes, I'll get some surgery if I want to because it's my own damn body and it is what it is. But sometimes, like, I'm not perfect at the end of the day. So if you get a picture of me, great for you. I'm going to post an even sexier one tomorrow. And what? Like, you know what I mean? So it just is what it is, girl.
I agree. I just feel like it's the double standard, and I feel like I don't mean this to sound mean because I love Khloe. I love the Kardashians, but it is a taste of your own medicine, and it's like you perpetuate these beauty standards. Like, you perpetuate it, okay? Like, y'all are airbrushed down. You are getting your features to look like black women. Yes, I said it, okay? What they have told about black women, oh, our lips are too big, our butts are too big, we too shapely, yet y'all take our styles, y'all take our, you know, you take our hairstyles, y'all act like they're yours. And then, like, you know, it's considered beauty. But
you
then,
date, like, exclusively black men.
Black men, okay. But then, yet again, our black sisters, our black queens are always the last on the totem pole. They're like, you know, it's just, you perpetuate this image that of perfection. And then when you are not seen in that light, then you want to play the victim. And that's what I don't like about this situation is that, like, again, I stand with you in the sense of, like, yes, body shaming is not okay. And that, you know, no one should be body shamed. And like, if an unflattering photo comes out of you, like, there's a difference of, like, okay, if you are out drinking and you drunk or you're doing illicit drugs and something like that comes out of you, okay, I get that. That's very, like, you know, no. But we talking you at the pool, bitch, you posed for the photo. Like, you know, like, it's like, you know, then all of a sudden when a non-flattering photo comes out of you, then you're using your privilege, then you're using your power to literally call Instagram. First of all, Instagram got a number, okay? Because, bitch, I've been having glitches with my Instagram forever. And Instagram got a number? That you can call?
There are so many bitches that have been locked out of their accounts that have been trying to get in contact with them for years.
And child, not even the Instagram child, the internet got a number. You got the number to the internet? That you could call the internet and have the photo, like, it's like, girl, you doing too much. And then you doing all of that, and then trying to put it under the umbrella of, it's my, like, you know what I mean? As if, like, you're, there is just something unauthentic in that for me, it's just like, girl, this is the actual issue. Girl, you should have just never commented on, first of all, you are Kardashian, okay? Y'all know stories come out every week. Let it die. You doing the most of it is like what made it more big. And ultimately, and what the crazy part about it is girl, you actually look good in the photo. Like,
yeah, it's really not a bad photo. Like,
you actually look like 90% of women today. And so the fact that you couldn't see that power in that, and the fact that you were so insecure about,
it's like the body dysmorphia, right? Like,
yes.
All of these, like, because once you said just now, this is very true and interesting. Like, you posed for that photo. Like, you were aware of that photo's existence. Like, and also, all of the alterations and all of the, both physically and digitally, like, you know what your body actually looks like, girl. You know that when you wake up in the morning with nothing on, and you go stand in that mirror, and you step on that scale, you know what your body is looking like. You know the real you more than anybody else ever will. And so when you do all of these alterations and then you compare yourself to those alterations that you're making, it's like that those two things are never going to be the same.
Right.
You need to get that out of your head now. That is that filter is fake. It's, you're never going to look like that. And so when that photo gets posted, the one that you posed for, it's like, so you just want us to see all of the fake and none of the real. And
right.
But you also want to be the real Kardashian sister that's a little heavier than her other sisters. You want to be you want access to claiming the real raw title of the sisters without being real and raw.
Right. And then what does that say to these little girls out there that are like, you know, looking at that photo and they don't see anything wrong with it, and then you're going to great lengths to get it taken down. And then it's just like, you know, then they got this, there's like actual a diagnosis of like Snapchat filter that people are like, you know, they don't even want their regular photos to look real because they want to look like the Snapchats. It's just,
right.
It's crazy. And again, like I said, you want to be the real one so bad. This could have been an opportunity for you to take that photo and for you to post it on your Instagram and say, guess what? This is me. Hate it or love it. And then
she said something about that too. And she said, which I kind of respect, because she said, because a lot of people were making that point, and she said, well, I just want people to remember that everybody is on a different spot in their journey. So maybe she's just not there yet.
Right.
And I think that being famous just makes it so much worse because you have all of these eyes on you all the time. And like I said before, she did not create these ideals. She's not the one that like wrote the playbook on what qualifies.
But she perpetuates them. But
you are profiting off them, and you know that you are. So it's like there is a give and a take here, sis. It's not like, you know, because the last thing I want us to do is like be two men on here shitting on a woman for
Right.
It's also like, let's be real about the situation that's really happening right now.
Right. And that's all that I'm saying. And my thing is, like, I like the photo. Like, I loved it. And again, I understand your journey is your journey. But for me, the issue was, and I guess maybe the issue really is, it's just like the privilege that you have that you can call the internet to get it taken down. And then it's like you're posting these videos up showing your body.
Internet number.
Okay, child, run it to me, because I got a couple of things I like to take down. And then it's like you're posting these videos showing your body, like, this is me right now. Like, okay, girl, like, you can't edit a video. Like, you know, girl, if you got the number to the internet. But again, the message that I just want to convey here, and that, again, I don't want it to be like we're like hating on Khloé, but at the end of the day, this is the casual tea and we keep it real. So like, if you agree, you agree, you don't agree, that's fine. Like, we can have different opinions, but what I just want to leave it with is that the photo was taken, was beautiful. Thought that you looked great. I think that you always look great, whether you're big, small, whatever. I think that the video that you posted of your body, showing your body, child, you looked great then. Inspiration to me. But both photos were great, and I think that it could have been more powerful in you using that photo to propel a different image of what real is and what it could be for girls. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that it's a missed opportunity. However, I know we all real. And, you know, if you have, I mean, again, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because, child, if a photo comes out of me and I got the Kardashian money and I got the number to the internet, I'd be lying if I wouldn't call old man internet and say, take it down. But again, it just speaks to the insecurities that we all have. And I guess the lesson learned is, I guess the message in this all is that no matter how rich, no matter how famous, no matter how many surgeries that you can afford, like, insecurity is real. And that, like, you know, we're all on a journey to a different mm-hmm. one of us. And I just, for me, what makes me so agitated or like upset about it is that, like, I have nieces that look up to them. And it's like, I don't want them to get confused, like, that can't really distinguish the difference. And, like, you know, I want to pour into my nieces. I want to pour into my goddaughters that, like, you're beautiful, period. Like, you know, no matter what, good photo, bad photo, guess what, you're loved, you're a queen, you're, like, you know. And that's just what I feel like could be missed on this younger generation. And I just want to make sure that they know that, like, child, you are you, living your truth, living your body. Like, and for me,
yeah,
somebody who does struggle with their body image, I'm open about that. Like, you know, sometimes I'm heavier, sometimes I'm skinnier. But the one thing that I'm always so critical and hard on myself is that, like, you know, I can say, like, oh my God, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly. And then I'll take a photo, and then 2 years will go by, and then I'll look at that photo that I took, and I'll be like, well, bitch, I wasn't even that bad. And I missed that opportunity to live in my grace and live in my beautifulness yeah. because I was so hard on myself. And that's really the point that I'm trying to get, is that, like, no matter where your body is at, no matter where you at, celebrate it. Celebrate yes. your rolls. Yes. Celebrate your six pack. Celebrate your short hair. Celebrate okay.
Strive for, like, what I say is just strive for wellness and health. Like, just if you, because those are the things that you need more than anything before you even need to think about body aesthetic. Yes, it's wonderful to have muscles. It's wonderful to have that six pack. It's wonderful to have those strong legs. It's wonderful to have that big, juicy ass. It's all great. No one's denying that. There are just certain things that I think a lot of people just found attractive because it's, but those things are found attractive because they signify health. You know what I mean? But what the thing about today is, you don't always necessarily have to be healthy to attain those things. So that is sort of like not even as biologically true as it used to be. So what I tell people is just focus on being healthy. Is your heart good? Can you run up some stairs without getting winded? What are you eating? You know what I mean? Like, right. How green and yellow is your piss? Like, because that thing, you, or how hydrated are you? Like, right. How much sleep do you get? How's your mental health? Like, that's the stuff that you need to be focused on, because if you are well and you are healthy, that's going to give you so much more time and energy to then deal with some other bullshit. And okay. I think that it promotes you to feel better about yourself in general, because right. you have your health, you have your wellness. Like, and that's what people should really focus on, and not so much the aesthetic. And I'm learning that so much more as I get a little older, and it stops me from being so hard on myself if I don't necessarily look the way that I used to look 4 years ago. And it's like, come on, like, you're 26 years old. Like, why are you stressing out about that? That's like, come on. Like, and I think the more and more that I teach myself that, the more that I can, like, notice those types of behaviors when it comes to my thought processes with other people, because now I'm like able to find so many different types of people attractive, because I'm like, you know what? I do that shit to myself. I'm not about to do that to that person.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean?
That's such a great point. And it's like, I always say, and we wonder why in this day and age that relationships aren't working and, like, you know, the divorce rate is so high. Like, how, and I say this so much, how can you expect someone to love you if you don't love yourself? Mm-hmm. And so, like, again, the bigger message here is, F the critics, okay? You got to find peace in yourself. You got to find love in yourself. Love yourself so much that even if you had the internet's number to take a photo down, you don't care because you at peace with how you look. And I think that yep. is, that's the real message. It's like you said, your mental health, love yourself, focus on yourself, focus on being the best image of you and not worrying about these other competitors, which is why, like, sometimes on, like, the Instagram, like, I don't watch a lot of people's stories because I don't want to be like, oh, I could, like, you know, I try to just focus on myself. And I think when you focus more on yourself and not what trying to compete with the Joneses and the Kardashians, you will be more at peace with yourself. And yes. I just, yeah, and with in this time of quarantine, I feel like we all got to know ourselves a lot more than we ever did. And I think that we should propel that. And if you're want to be in a relationship and you want to be, you know, with someone and you want love, like, make sure you love yourself first. Make sure you are okay with how you look naked. Make sure you are, like, you know what I'm saying? Make, because if you're not, how can you want someone else to love you? How, like, you know, then, like, you know, then you are living for someone else's love and praise. And that can only go so far, because if that person stops loving you, then where are you left?
And the standard is always going to change. Like, it's like getting the new iPhone every year. Like, there's just going to be a new one next year. Like, you're never going to be on top of it. Like, it's just, you're always going to be, it's a cup that will never be filled. And so the more and more that you're able to just love who you are as a person. And yeah, like, I'm not saying that if there's something that you really, really want for yourself, not to go for it. Like, if you want to lose some weight, go ahead, lose some weight. If you want to
make sure it's for you,
but
not for the internet.
And make sure that it's realistic and make sure that it's healthy when you do it, you know?
Like, right.
That's all that matters.
Yes. Such a great discussion. So, keeping the menu or the teapot rolling. I'm slipping, falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, falling, I got to get up. Get me back on my feet so I can kiss. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, falling, I can't get up. Let me just say, this song hits so much different right now.
I've been through mad different phases, like mazes, to find my way. And now I know that happy days are not far away. If
I'm sorry, y'all, I just gotta let this play out a little bit. Gotta show my love. More constructive DMX. Than
bitch. I know because I've been there. Now I'm in there. Sit back and look at what it.
So we all know that on Friday, the hip hop community has truly lost an icon. And it was really sad. DMX has been a part of the fabric of me growing up. I necessarily wasn't a huge DMX fan, but I grew up with brothers that loved DMX. And so the older I get and the more I was able to get into DMX's songs and just the more I was able to get into the person of DMX, I loved DMX, and I just want to read a quick statement from his family, and then we can kind of go into it. So his family on Friday released a statement that said, "We are deeply saddened to announce today that our loved one DMX, birth name Earl Simmons, passed away at 50 years old at White Plains Hospital with his family by his side after being placed on life support for the past few weeks. Earl was a warrior who fought to the very end. He loved his family with all of his heart, and we cherish the times we spent with him. Earl's music inspired countless fans across the world, and his legacy will live forever. We appreciate all the love and support during this incredibly difficult time. Please respect our privacy as we grieve the loss of our brother, father, uncle, and the man the world knew as DMX. We will share information about his memorial service once the details are final." And yeah, so we are yet again losing another icon way too young. But the one thing that I want to say about DMX that touches me, because it, you know, you listen to his music, and again, like that song Slipping off of his first album, I remember hearing it over and over and over and over again in my childhood, but just like to actually hear the words, like, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up, I got to get up, you know, and just knowing that he was in a coma, and just knowing that, like, he was truly fighting for his life. And we all know that DMX had demons that so many of us struggle with. So many of us know people in our families that struggle with demons. And, you know, the one thing that I loved about DMX, because, like, you know, I have lost my brother to a drug overdose. And so we don't know what the issue is as to what DMX passed away from, but also just randomly, so disrespectful for people to put out false narratives. Like, one, etiquette is, and I know DMX is a celebrity, but just in your own personal lives with people, if someone passes, it's so rude to ask the family what happened. Like, you know, like, you think people would know better, but, like, how about you just celebrate the life of the person, and just, like, you know, like, it's just none of your business. And I understand the curiosity of the world and people want to know, but, like, be respectful. But I just say that, like, you know, we know, like, throughout DMX's life and, like, through his career, he struggled. He had demons. And, you know, we know that he had an abusive childhood. And, you know, childhood trauma that is untreated, that's undiagnosed, that's untalked about, like, you know, it can rear its ugly head in different places of his life, and some people can't overcome those demons. But the one thing that I found truly inspirational about DMX is that, like, you know, his love for Christ, his love for the Lord, his love for his fans, and his love for being so open and being so transparent about what he was going through. And I really feel like that, you know, God used him to be a vessel, because how many times, like, how many people, like, have lost their fathers, their brothers, their siblings, their mothers to drug addiction? And, you know, some people hold that resentment. And, you know, I think DMX really, like, used his platform to say, like, you gotta forgive. Like, you know, some people can't control this. And I also want to say that I am a proponent of giving people their flowers while they're here. And this is a prime example that life is short. You never know when, like, tomorrow is not promised, another second is not promised. And so I am just so happy that DMX received his flowers while he was here. Like, you know, a couple of months ago, he did his verses with Snoop Dogg. And at that time, that was the biggest verses ever. And it was just like, you know, he got to live in his glory. And I even saw the interview that I posted to my story that I think he did with, like, Ebro in the Morning, where he even said, and this was recent, that he was like, if I die today, I know that I've lived a good life. And I was just like, oh, it's just so powerful. And it's just like, you know, when death comes, we're never prepared for it. And us as humans, we're always so selfish in the thought of, we don't want people to go. We want people to live forever. But it's also important to know that, like, death is a part of life, and it's a part of, like, the metamorphosis of life. Like, we're only here for a short time. And guess what? Even celebrities are immune to that. And so I just am grateful to have grown up in a house with my brothers that lived. When I talk about where my dogs are, like, live DMX. And I'm just so happy that I have those memories of those, of that childhood. And I have my memories of him as an adult, and him being in one with the Lord, him being an advocate for not judging people, him being an advocate for, like, you know, my mistakes are my mistakes, but I will strive every day to be better. And guess what? I might not be better. I might still make mistakes. I might fall down, but I'm going to try. And he was always on a road to a better DMX. And that's just something that I can appreciate. And, you know, just rest in paradise, DMX.
Yeah, I grew up listening to his music hearing his music, because I was never really a fan of his. But a lot of people around me, I'm very familiar with a lot of his stuff because of, you know, just being black. But no, it's really, really sad to hear when, you know, people that we hold up, like celebrities, can't, you know, people that we consider to have more resources than the common man still can't seem to fight this. And it's actually so crazy that this happened, because when I, so he passed, and then the day after, I went to the hospital because I was feeling really sick, and I didn't know that I had strep at the time. And so when I'm in my room waiting to see the doctor, I overheard this entire conversation between another doctor and a patient who was in there, who was just exclaiming about how he just wants to get his life back on track. He wants to stop smoking PCP. He wants to stop being surrounded by all these people that all they want to do is just smoke weed and smoke crystal meth and all that. And he's been trying so hard to get his life back on track. He feels like he's lost everything. He used to be a personal trainer, and then he was fired. And when he tries to go to rehab, it's so far from the city, so he feels like he can't really get a good place to be, but he also doesn't want to be in the city because he doesn't want to get pulled down into the same environment that he's been in before. And just all of these things that you can tell that this man really, really wanted to be free of these demons, but it's very hard. It, like, addiction is really such a nasty, nasty monster. And unless you have the proper resources and the proper care and
not even that sometimes, so though, like, you know, if you don't have a tribe around you, if you don't, like, you know, sometimes it's not even that simple. Like, you can have the proper resource, you can have all the things, and guess what? The addiction will still take hold of you. And I think that, you know, people need to realize that. And I've spent 7 years of my life working at a psychiatric hospital, where a lot of the times we weren't even dealing with psychiatric issues. We were dealing with drug and alcohol. And I could just see, like, the ravage. I would always see, like, the family members coming in to visit, and I would talk, and I would, like, you know, I'm an admissions counselor, but at the same time I'm being a therapist, and it's just like, it's real. And then some of us feel like, oh, we're above that, we're so privileged, until it, like, it happens to you or it happens close to you. And it's just compassion. You gotta lead with compassion. And yeah, it's just, I just hope people can use this as an example that, like, hopefully this could motivate millions of people to be like, you know what, I want to get on the right track, and I want to, and sometimes you can't overcome it. But the one thing that I always got from DMX was that he was trying, and he wanted to do better. And I think that, you know, we got to give people credit for that. Like, and I think a lot of the times we're always so hurt and bothered by what that person in our life that is addicted to something, like, what, how, we're always so worried about, like, how it makes us feel, how it makes, like, us look. And, like, we then forget the struggle and the demons that they must be going through. And so I just hope that this just sheds empathy and light to people during this, because it's just, addiction is something that is, you know, we've been,
it's
like,
no joke, man.
No joke. And
people are so quick to be like, oh, well, if they would have never done it in the first place, then we wouldn't be. I was like, yes, of course. Of course we can all say that. But, like, it's still, it happens. It happens. It happens to people because for many different reasons, whether it be, you know, the environment in which they are born in, their genealogy as well. Like, sometimes it's just a perfect storm for people to make wrong decisions. And then before you know it, they're in this really messed up position that they don't know how to get out of it. And it's like, I feel like we need to have more compassion for one another, and to just sort of, like, understand that it's not a one size fits all case for everyone. And just to be just more compassionate, you know?
Yeah.
It sucks. It
absolutely sucks. Shed love. And, you know, here at the Purple Pants Podcast, we send our condolences to the friends, the families that love DMX, and he definitely will live on forever in our hearts.
Yes. Stop.
Drop. Shut him down. Open up shop.
Oh.
No.
No.
That's how rough fighters roll.
Oh. Come on, X.
Shut him down. Open up shop. Oh.
Ooh, yes. So,
he has such a distinctive voice. Like,
he did. That's what I appreciated about DMX. And so, yes, rest in peace. Now, I want to transition into our next topic that I was like, ooh, when I got wind of this, I definitely wanted to give my two cents about it. So, everyone knows there is a TikTok challenge out that, who hasn't heard it? Who hasn't heard, who hasn't seen this TikTok challenge? I didn't want to do it.
My heart is
Come Come on, child. Listen. Who has not seen this TikTok or on their Instagram or heard this song? Come on. She's a runner. She's a track star. She gon' run away when it gets hard.
She gon' win away when it gets hard. She hurt anyone that gets involved.
Don't forget.
She gon' do the race, just not this.
So that is a song called Track Star by, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Mooski. And
I think that's it, yeah.
There has been some controversy that has come to my desk. And so I just felt like this was a perfect place for me to talk about it. So there is, we know, we live in a world of influencers. We live in a world of TikTok stars. We live in a world of Twitter stars, Instagram stars. And there has been a new trend in the music industry, especially right now. We're in a pandemic. And we know that a lot of artists, and especially new artists, they make their money on the road. A lot of new artists sign like 360 deals and don't really make money off their music. And so they, you know, go on the road. They do tours. They do shows. But we can't do that right now in a pandemic because we ain't doing shows. And so
pandemic,
it's a panini out here. It's a Panera Bread going on. So
Pantene hair conditioner, baby.
Yes. So a lot of stars are finding success in TikTok and Instagram, and you know there are challenges being made, and so a lot of the times we don't, and mind you, who listens to the radio anymore? We're streaming everything, and so there are challenges, and people make challenges off of songs, and then the challenge goes viral, and then the song goes really viral. So in this case, there is a TikToker, an Instagram influencer by the name of City Boy J. City Boy J is a queer black male. And, you know, I don't know whether or not if he considers himself binary, but I know that he definitely considers himself, he uses the he, him pronouns. But in this day and age, as people are more comfortable and, you know, living in their truth, he is of the era where he likes to wear makeup. He wears nails. He wears, you know, tight fitting clothes. He wears hair. I don't know if it's his own hair, but mind you, he wears his hair in a ponytail. And, you know, he's living in his truth. Anyone knows who, like, Saucy Santana is? You know, walk him like a dog. Let me see a walk, 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 walk. Like, you know, he's very similar to Saucy Santana. And I love it. Living your truth, okay? Like, do you? There's enough room for all of us. And, you know, in the hip-hop community, why I love Saucy Santana so much, him being a successful, openly gay black rapper. And, you know, he doesn't let the heterosexual normities define his life. He lives in his truth. You know, him having success, I love it because it paves the way for so many other people. Child, even like myself, you know, I'm a little rapper. I got some songs that have charted. But this issue is that City Boy J, you know, like so many of us, like Saul, heard the song, liked it, did a challenge to it. And so the Track Star challenge that you see, that I even was going to do, but I'm not going to do now, is that, you know, it was created by City Boy J. And the challenge went viral. Like I never even heard the song. I only heard the 15 second clip of it because from people doing challenges. And look, the creator was a young black queer man, like, you know, a young black queer man. Like, yes. And so a lot of these challenges that happen, the artists will reach out to the creator and, you know, put them in a video. Sometimes they'll give them money. Sometimes, like, you know, they'll show them love. In this instance, we had found out, like, he shot a video recently. And City Boy J took to his Instagram. You know, I got the receipts. Hold on. Wait, let me pull the receipts up. He took to his Instagram to say, nope, I'm not in the video just because someone don't want to work with me because who I am. It will not stop me from what made me who I am today. And my dear little, the Instagram post isn't grammatically correct, but I'm assuming what he's trying to say is, it will not stop me from what made me who I am and all I have done for Mooski, even if he doesn't recognize what I did. All my supporters, I want you to know that I'm going to keep going. People might not say, what did I do? Just know I changed this man's life and I'm still working from the bottom with no support. Like, I supported this song. My surprise is at 7 p.m. tonight. So I've done a little research. City Boy J has done an interview, and City Boy J like lets us know that, you know, he did the video overnight. It went viral. He reached out to Mooski to let him know, like, hey, I did this challenge. It's going viral. No response. The song continued to go even more viral. And you know, he reached out again. And yeah, no response. The Mooski shot a video. The girls in the video are doing City Boy J's dance.
Oh no. Okay, so now that's,
and yeah, City Boy J feels some type of way about it. And I recently went on like a mini road trip with Wendell and Joey, shout out to the Beef crew, and I like posed this question to them. And so, like, you know, they were playing devil's advocate, and although for me it's like, does Mooski owe anything to City Boy J, like legally and technically? No, he doesn't. Like, you know, City Boy J did this on his own. And like, yeah. However, like, let's just be clear about this. This song would not be the hit song that it is if City Boy J did not do what he did to it. Like, City Boy J propelled this song. And I feel like if City Boy J was an Instagram female model, absolutely Mooski would have reached out to this. And so when I was talking with Wendell about this, he kind of was like giving me like, he's playing devil's advocate. And so I had to give him an example of, we all know the boy Shiggy, and we all know the Drake song, Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Are you never, ever, ever? Now, we all know Drake is a huge star. Drake is like, you know, whatever. But, you know, Shiggy made that dance to it. And the support that Shiggy got from these rappers, from doing this dance, like, you know, even Drake reached out to Shiggy, threw some money at him, gave, like, you know, and just really, like supported him. Now, we also know Drake sampled a song from Big Freedia. And there was a big controversy in that, because when Drake shot the video, he ain't used Big Freedia. And so we all know what that's about, whether people want to admit to it or whether, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, and especially, and Big Freedia is another one of those Black queer people that live in that, you know, uncomfortable space for some, you know, and, you know, people want, you know, in this society, you're either, you got to be a man or a woman. There's no in-betweens. And that makes, especially in this hip hop and Black culture, it makes people uncomfortable. However, we see Big Freedia. We see Queen B loves Big Freedia. We see Queen B didn't use her information. She done brought her to the tour. Like, you know, it's just saddening that Drake couldn't have done the same thing. But hard to compare the two, but it is just really sad to see a young queer male out here that truly blew this song up. And this young Black artist can't even show love to him, can't even acknowledge what he has done for him. And it's sad. And for me, I call a thing a thing. We know what the reason is, okay? Like, we know what the tea is. That there's just no telling if City Boy J was an Instagram model, baby, he would have been all over it. And it just, you know, and Saucy Santana got wind of it, and he wrote to Twitter that, you know, that's wrong for City Boy J not to be in the video. I'm telling you, this industry ain't no joke for us gays, especially the flamboyant ones. Don't worry, I'm working hard for us. We will not be stopped. And Big Freedia even wrote in the comments, I know all too well about this. Keep your head up. And yeah, so it's not a huge topic, but for me, it just really bothered me, because it's like, you know, again, I tell us to live in our truths and be ourselves, and we should, but that does not mean that there will not be hurdles that we have to overcome, and that, you know, it's just sad. But I'm glad that City Boy J spoke out about it, whether or not, like, you know, people agree with it, you know, whatever. I'm just glad that he told his truth, because I know the truth that the only reason I like the song is because I wanted to do the dance. And it's just saddening that not only are they using his dance in the video, and, like, you know, they could have had City Boy J at the bar drinking, and he could have waited. Like, you know what I mean? There were just so many
right
obstacles. And it's just, again, I hate to always just bring Wendell up, but I just use our friendship as a shiny example that, like, it's so important for allyship, and it's so important for, like, Wendell and I to show our friendship, because it's like, we need to normalize this. A black heterosexual man can, guess what, be best friends or friends with a gay black man, and guess what? You don't have to question this heterosexual man's sexuality. Why can't they be friends? Why can't City Boy just created this amazing dance that propelled this song? That, you know, really changed his life, but you don't want to give him credit. You don't want to show him love because you don't want to be associated with this gay black man. And that's bothering for me. And so, you know, I just, but that's the hip hop community, and especially in this black culture that, you know, you and I, Amon, know all too well. So it just was frustrating. So I just, you know, I wasn't going to talk about it because it's like a lot of people don't know, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about it. I want to give my roses to City Boy J. Continue doing you. And hopefully from this controversy, something great becomes of you, because I know all too well what it's like to be told no, or for people not. There's so many times in my life that I've got great ideas that I tell people and they dismiss it. And I literally can tell Wendell the same idea to tell one person and they go to Wendell, oh, that's such a great idea. I've never heard, like, you know, I know all too well what it's like for my voice not to be heard. I know all too well what it's like not to be seen and not to be heard. I know all what it's like to be like, oh, could you just not talk? Could you just not walk that way? Could you just, like, I know all too well what it's like. And so that's why it really bothers me that City Boy J then created this whole damn dance and they won't even give him his roses. But hopefully after this controversy comes out, maybe Mooski will come to his senses and maybe he'll throw him a couple of dollars at the very least. But it is sad that it was a missed opportunity for him not to be in the video while they dance into the dance that he done created. Ugh.
Yeah, so I had a different perspective on this, but that part about them actually went going ahead and then using the dance in the video, that's like, all right, well, what's really going on here? Because for me...
Well, what was your perspective prior to knowing that? I'm curious.
I really didn't think that... I think it's lovely that he created this dance that went viral. I think that's great and everything. But I also think that that's just TikTok. TikTok loves a good dance challenge. The kids right. love them. And that's what, like, kids drive TikTok right now. And that is exactly the type of content that kids want to see.
And can I interrupt you for...
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't want to get cussed out by the fans. But look, so, I agree. But... You know that staring at the blank page before, you know that challenge that's going on right now on us. You know that little dance challenge that they doing? You heard of that, right, Amon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Did you see the video with Natasha Bentonfield? She done joined in on it.
I did see that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's just the only point that I wanted to point out. And it's Sorry. Okay. Because now Spicy Bricey is back. Sorry. I don't mean to cut him out off. Sorry.
But wait,
sorry.
But I think the difference with that is that that's already an established song that is just gaining resurgence.
Because
we all know that song. That's been a bop for years. That's been on. And not to say that doesn't take away from the creativity of the kids on TikTok for revamping it. That's awesome. I'm glad that an entirely new generation is being exposed to that song because it's a beautiful song. But with Mooski, I was like, all right, well, if he's an up-and-coming artist and his music is going to be featured on TikTok, it's inevitable, and it's got a catchy beat, it's inevitable that he's going to have people that do a dance challenge to it. And so, of course, if what's his face? City Boy J is reaching out to him and saying, like, look, hey, I really enjoy your song. I hope that you like the video, that the dance challenge that I made to you guys' song. Of course, Mooski, just say in his DMs, at the very least, be like, oh, you know what, bro? Thank you so much. We appreciate what you're doing out here. Thank you so much. That's really all you had to say. But the fact that you ignored him twice and then went ahead and put the video in the dance, or put the dance in the video, that's kind of suspect.
Right.
Because do you have to give him a spot in the video?
No.
Do you really owe him anything?
No.
Because people know, like, up-and-coming artists know that if you want to have a viral moment, go to TikTok. Someone will find that song, and then the next thing you know, it's viral because there are other people out there doing a dance. Now, we already know that there are songs that are already pretty popular that go viral because of the fact that people do dance challenges, and then those ones have a plethora of dance challenges that help elongate the songs, like, you know, longevity. So then is that artist that has multiple people doing dance challenges to their song then supposed to go to each and every person that goes viral and be like, thank you so much? No, I think that's a little bit too much to ask for. But in this instance, yeah, it is a bit more singular, because if he was the main reason that the song went viral, I think there's no problem in just saying thanks and just recognizing him. I'm not even saying you have to put him in the video, but you could at least say thanks. Don't use his dance and then not say anything to him. That's crazy.
Right. And so for me, I was like a little skeptical at first getting into like the City Boy J, because I also feel like the way that he presents it, like, I don't know. But I just feel like, okay, child, you signed in his DMs. He don't have to check the DMs. But like, for me, it's like City Boy, like Mooski, you seen the videos. You know where the origin of this video come from.
Right.
You
like, if your song wasn't popping off and then all of a sudden it's popping off, like, come on, like, you know what happened. And then we now, and that doesn't even have to be confirmed, but now we know it's confirmed because the dance is in the video. So it's like,
right. And then it's like, you know, City Boy J did this interview, and he's like, you know, the record company reached out to me and was basically like promising him things. And I guess that's where, you know, basically, he said that at one point in time, the record company reached out to him and was promising him things, and he just never heard anything from it. And so, again, I'm not, like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying they owe him anything. Like, when you do a dance challenge, it is what it is. Like, we seen this with, like, James Wright and Patti LaBelle. Like, we know, like, of course, Patti LaBelle's famous, but when James Wright came on, Patti! You know... You know, Patti LaBelle at first was like, he didn't make the pies I did. And so, like, you know, she had to be schooled. And now, like, you know, she uses James to help her. Like, you know, it can only help the person to use the other. Like, you know what I'm saying? But again, for me.
But then it's kind of like what I was getting at before, where it's like, with this whole audience interaction thing, it's like, where do we draw the line? Because it's like, as a company, I can understand, like, not trying to all of a sudden use people that make your stuff go viral all of the time, because you do sort of like want some self-sustainability. And if the product is good, then it's going to go viral because the product is good. You know what I mean? So it's like, on one hand, it's like, I do understand Patti LaBelle's initial response to being like, well, he liked it because I made a bomb-ass pie, so why should I? But at the same time, in this day and age of social media, when that is beginning to have more of an influence on driving sales, it's like, well, I mean,
right.
I didn't really see a commercial about your pie. I didn't really hear about your pie until the controversy about the pie and you not talking about it. So it's like, okay, so where do we start giving these people credit? But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to be a TikTok person or you're going to be someone that likes to do dances and stuff online, you can't just automatically assume like, if your stuff goes viral, that's going to mean something. Like, you know, the pearly white gates to Hollywood are not going to open up to you because you made a dance.
I agree. But in the space of the creator, I can sympathize with him in the sense of, I just wanted to, like, it's not like he's not asking for money. He just wanted an acknowledgement. Like, you know, and again, I could understand him not, you know, responding to your DMs. I get that. But, like, you could have reposted his video. You could have done something. It just, for me, personally, and again, this is just my opinion. Other people can have their own. I feel like the resistance or the issue to not wanting to post it is because of City Boy J's appearance. Like, for me, that is just very clear. If it had been a female, like, he would have had there is just no question in my mind, he would have had no problem showing him love. And that's just my take on it. So, I mean, you don't have to agree, but that's just my take on it. Like, if it was a female...
No, I would not be surprised. Like, I don't know Mooski. Like, I've never heard of this guy until we...
Chada, you probably won't. You probably won't.
So, like,
again.
I really don't know. So, I don't feel as comfortable being like, yeah, it's probably what it was. But at the same time, like, we all know the history of homophobia in the black community, especially within the hip-hop community. So, like, it would not surprise me if they were hesitant to give this guy a shout-out. Which, like... Well, then the joke's on you, sir, because do you see Lil Nas X taking the world by storm right now?
Huh. So. But again, homophobia is real. And, like, you know, and especially in this hip-hop culture that is definitely misogynistic and just very, you know, I can't even talk. testosterone heavy. Yeah, they don't have, like, and even if they are willing to accept the gays, they definitely don't want the flamboyant gay. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just such disrespect, and I hate it. But I wish all the well to City Boy Jay, and I hope that he gets his just due. I'm curious to know other people's thought on it. And again, I'm not saying I'm right, I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm just pouring you my casual tea.
See, now I just looked at his video of him doing the dance back in January. Mm. And not to throw any shade, it's not very a hard dance to do. But that being said, they still went ahead and used it. So it's like, it's effective. So,
and that's in January.
What's the problem?
And child, the song was out in October. Okay, so you do the math. Okay, you do the math. Mm. Song was out in October. What traction you had? Right. City Boy J came on here, and for me, it's the oh wow part, okay, and the little butt pop, okay. I was trying a little twerk, but anyway, City Boy J, I hope you get your just dues, and Mooski, I hope that you grow to diversify your catalog and realize that and accept people for who they are. And if you're going to be in this music industry and you have a song that goes viral on TikTok, guess what? The gays are on TikTok, and we love to make videos, and you need to be
and
more
you
inclusive.
Should, yeah, you really should be trying to diversify your audience. Like, that's just lesson number one as an entertainer.
Okay.
Like, you want all types of people to enjoy your shit. So do your best when there's opportunities to invite people of all types of communities. Do it.
Like, right.
Why not?
Do better. But I will keep a close eye to the situation because there is a lot of pressure on Mooski, and I'm sure the record label will want to do right. So I am curious to see what happens. And so the last lip tea that we have, it is with great, it's just all these deaths. It's so sad. But Prince Philip, the longest serving consort in history of the British monarchy, died age 99 on Friday, leaving behind a lengthy catalog of provocative remarks that cemented his reputation as an outspoken royal, untamed by the family's careful, rehearsed public image. The royal family lost Prince Philip, and it's really sad. You know, he was the longest serving consort in history, other than, I'm sure, Queen Elizabeth herself. But yeah, it's really sad. And I, in watching The Crown, I really loved Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth's sister were really my favorite characters. And I had so much respect for Prince Philip, and just kind of knowing, like, the role that he had to take and his love for the Queen was, you know, just great. And in watching The Crown and just knowing all this history, so it was really sad, and I'm really sorry for the royal family. But the butt in the story is sending my condolences, and I'm just sending my condolences. But y'all all know the real tea about what we want to know. Is Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, like, awkward, you know, this family drama, but how, for me, this is like so real in the sense of, like, how many times do you not get along with people? And then guess what? You know, they always say, like, funerals and weddings bring the worst out in families, because it's like they're like these forced events that people have to go to. And so, you know, the world was wanting to know, is Meghan Markle gonna go to the funeral? And, like, what's the, like, you know, like, I mean, who is like, I feel like anybody would be lying that when they heard this, like, their mind did not go there, like, what the tea is. But I did get some tea that Prince Harry will be following the COVID guidelines, quarantining, and will be returning home to mourn with his family, and Meghan Markle will not be making the trip. They say that she did not get the clearance from her doctor in her pregnancy to go. Your thoughts?
All right. So, look, no matter if she was going to be damned if she did and damned if she didn't. If she went over to that damn funeral, she would have been faced with the same scrutiny that she already is faced with over there. I'm sure the British public would have ran so many different types of media and news coverage over there on her. because it generates the clicks, it generates the engagements for their outlets. So I'm sure that was a bunch of stuff. Like, how could, and they would have been saying all sorts of stuff, whether it was positive stuff, being like, so glad that Harry and Meghan are returning home to pay their condolences to Harry's grandfather, or it would have been the negative stuff, saying like, how dare she show her face back over here after doing what she did. Now, if she doesn't go, the same shit is going to be said about her. So it's like, now look, it's COVID. It's COVID out here. Like, she's pregnant. She doesn't need to be doing all sorts of flying and all that stuff. Who's to say that she hasn't been keeping in contact with Prince Philip? We know that she's been keeping in contact with the Queen. So it's not that far out of the realm of imagination to think that she's been readily abreast of all the information as it pertains to King Philip's condition. And I'm sure she was one of the first people in the entire world to know when he passed, much sooner than when we found out. I'm sure that he probably passed away at least days before the public found out, because they are very good at keeping that kind of stuff under wraps when it comes to the royal family, because they like to, they're media whores. Like, they like to, they know how to, you know, run out their information and disseminate it properly. So look, even at the very least, if Meghan is using her doctor as an excuse, like she's giving us a sick note and being like, oh, I'm okay, sick, I'm pregnant, I can't fly. Even if that's not necessarily the case, who gives a shit? Because she's damned if she do and she's damned if she don't. Like, and once again, I want to make it clear, Harry did say that he was excluding both Prince Philip and the Queen from being a part of any conversations having to do with Archie's health. Or, not health, color. So it's not even like she was even had anything bad to say about Prince Philip. So,
right.
I just feel I don't really give a shit.
Let's just be clear. The media, rest his soul, Prince Philip. There's no shade and no disrespect to the prince, but I'm just saying the people really wanted to see the photos of Meg, like, you know, the inner, like, they, people would just wanted to read into the photos of the family, and I'd be lying if I was
right. Saying, if Meghan Markle would have went, shots.
Yes, yeah. And I'd be lying
who's
if
sitting
I
sitting where at the funeral.
Okay, I would
who's
be lying.
Talking to who?
Child, I would be lying if I said if she went, I would not be checking for that. But yeah, so that's crazy, but I just figured it was tea worthy because I know we've talked about it before. But that is going to conclude the casual tea this week. And I love it. The casual tea is becoming one of my favorite segments. Please tweet us, you know, right on the Purple Pants Podcast Instagram. Let us know what you thought, any of these topics. And, you know, if there's a topic that you want Amon and I to cover, we will be back in 2 weeks to cover it the best that we can. But again, thank you so much, baby boy. I hope that you feel better before you go. Let the people know where they can follow you at. Let them know what's going on in the world of Amon. What you got cooking up?
I am still doing my thing over with RHAP for Big Brother coverage. I also have my podcast with Matt. We are in the middle of character analysis. We're really reaching the home stretch with that. So if you are a fan of Glee, make sure that you check us out at the Choir Room. I also am on Twitch, where I am reading Harry Potter to folks, so definitely check me out at Amon, or twitch.tv/AmonAdwin.
Yes.
And follow me on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Oh! Ooh. All right. We gon' go. I ain't even gonna let him get a chance to get me. Bye!
Puh, I said it's a puh. I said it's a puh. I said it's a Purple Pants Premonition.
And we are back this week with Purple Pants Premonitions. It's a new month, so we got a new forecast coming our way. Welcome back to the podcast, my friend, my brother, my sister, my... I don't even know. I feel like this is a Brandy Monica Chaka Khan song. Like, something.
Right. It's giving very, very that. It's your girl. It's your boy. It's your famous, your favorite bitch, Gangsta Gurry. Back. Back again in the building. Hey, baby boy. How are you doing today?
Yes. My spirits are high. The spring has sprung. Oh. The weather is nice. You know, this is my season. You know, I done got part one of the vaccination, so I'm waiting to get part two so I can pop this Pfizer puss all over the place, like, you know, but
okay.
You know,
I'm just Pfizer poppies out here for the summer.
Listen, okay, they say that my milkshake bring all the boys to the yard. Okay. So I'm just trying to just, you know, just really excited, feeling really encouraged. So I am excited to see what you have for the posse on the Purple Pants Premonitions this week.
Listen, I'm blessed to be here. We in the middle of spring. I too got the first shot of the vaccine. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm feeling kind of like that sense of, all right, we really getting into spring. Spring is springing. You know what I'm saying? Things yes. are moving. Like, we got this fiery energy of Aries season that we have been in and everything like that. And shit has been kind of like picking up, right? So as we are in the middle of April, you know, we are going to be transiting out of Aries season into Taurus season. So it's all about these routines, all about this grounding, all about us really getting into our new bag. And you know what I'm saying? When it's a new bag, it's a knapsack, bitch, okay? It's given very, very expensive, very luxurious, very, very, you know what I'm saying, sensual and everything like that. And I want to just, like, focus on how we can continue to feel our grounding, how we can continue to feel ourselves becoming, you know, even more animated, even more lively throughout this month of April. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what we've been going through. You feel what I'm saying? Astrological New Year started in the very middle of March. So, you know, that's when we kind of like started Aries season. And now we have been learning who we are again, right? So I want you to think about, if you're listening to this, like, what have you learned about yourself as we have gone through middle of March all the way to this point in April? How have you seen yourself kind of like stepping into your power? How have you been noticing your growth? So, like, Bryce, for you, like, how have you been feeling? Have you been feeling more powerful? Have you been feeling more put together? Like, what's the tea giving, mama?
It's feeling like very step by step, day mm-hmm. by day, mm-hmm. but definitely feeling encouraged, definitely trying to channel my energy and, you know, some energy that might have been meant for something and maybe didn't go that way. I'm really trying to still use that same energy to propel myself forward in this time, because I know through my certain amount of years around the sun that this is my season. This is where I blossom. And so I really am just trying to feel encouraged and use that momentum.
Amen to that. And I love that you said that, you know, that this is naturally your season. Like, this is your time. You start feeling your energy coming back to yourself. And I feel like these are really important things for us to know about ourselves. Like, this is not naturally my personal time of the year. I always have to kind of like find that energy, that like focus from the people that are in my community. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I love when we get together, because you always be giving me what it's supposed to give. You be giving me the yes. fire, giving me, you know, saying the life. And it's just like knowing these things about ourselves is really what's going to take us throughout the rest of April. So up until this point, to kind of like give us a sense of where we are, today I'm using the Moonology deck to help ground us by Yasmin Bolin. So the first couple of cards that come out, we have Your Hard Work Is Paying Off. Okay, let me say that one more time. Your hard work is paying off. And this is going on subconsciously. Like, this is a reminder to you. Like, if you needed to hear this, baby girl, baby boy, baby girl, you're doing it. You feel what I'm saying? And it's just about you remembering what allows you to just like maneuver, be able to flow to get you to this place. And the reminder is to have faith in your dreams, okay? What are your dreams? How have you noticed some of the things that you've prayed for? Some of the things that you've written in intentions? Some of the things that you've spoken over your life in the past? Like, you are here today. Do you see that? Do you recognize that? Like, even me and you having this little chit chat, we talking to the girls out there, the Purple Pants posse. Like, this is a dream that both of us have had in some sort of capacity. And have purr. We taken some, it's like, have we taken some time to really just like sit in it and just like, like giving very, like it's the ooh, ah, ah sensation. And it's giving us a moment to recognize that as we are noticing where we have come up, you know what I'm saying? Where we have stepped up, where we have grown, we have to have faith that that is going to allow us to transition throughout the rest of April. So it says your hard work is paying off. This is representative of the new moon in Capricorn. So new moon in Capricorn, some additional teachings for this. It says you need to be more disciplined to reach your goal. Hard work will make your dreams a reality. This is a very good omen for study or teaching. So if there's something that you've been wanting to learn more about, a creative project that you've been wanting to put energy into, this is the time. What have you been feeling that natural nudge to go ahead and start jumping into? This is really what you should be focused on in the rest of the month of April. And then the last message here, it says, don't be too controlling. and avoid anyone who is controlling. Why is this so important? Because we have our own directive. We have our own path. We have our own journey that we are supposed to take. And sometimes that path is going to be different from the people that are around us. And that is okay. And, you know, sometimes people think they know for us best, but they really don't know what's best for us. And it's really about you making your plan, executing it well, keeping in mind that sometimes people gonna have suggestions and stuff like that. But like at the end of the day, is that the end all be all that you need to be on? Like, you have to be very disciplined to reach your goal. What are your dreams? What are your desires? And how do you recognize the work that you've already done up until this point? And how is it going to keep flashing on through to make sure that things are good? And then along with the Have Faith in Your Dreams card, this is representative of the Waxing Crescent Moon. Now, Waxing Crescent Moon, for my girls out there, don't know what this is. It's the second moon phase in 8 moon phases. So it's a time where you really need to pursue your dreams. Put your foot down hard as you chase your goals. So I want you to keep in mind, we will be having a new moon in Aries in the month of April. I want to figure out what the date is because, like, it escapes me at the top of my mind. But I want you guys to keep in mind that, like, this new moon in Aries is going to be really helpful for just, like, getting those plans out of the way. You feel what I'm saying? Doing the work. I believe that the new moon in Aries is going to be happening on April 11th. So I want you to channel that energy as far as just like being focused on your dreams, not looking back. Keep moving forward. Be patient. Let me say that again. Be patient. Let me say it one more time for the people in the back that didn't hear me. Be patient. Okay, because Rome wasn't built in a day and your dreams cannot manifest immediately. It's all about the journey and appreciating the different steps along the journey, digging deeper as you find more courage and learning all of these things about yourself as they are transitioning. Okay, so as long as you are focused on what you want, things are going to continue to fall into place throughout the rest of this month. Okay, so that's where we are as we like stepping into the month of April, where you probably are right now. And I want to give a little advice as to how you can continue to win. Bryce, how's that sound for you so far? Does that sound pretty accurate?
It's on purr. Okay,
it's giving what it's supposed to give.
Yes. it's not the two, but it's the one.
Okay, you heard that. So listen, I want us to just like keep in mind that like we all have things that we're working on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's about us noticing why we deserve it. Speaking that deserving energy over our life. This is a conversation I had with my Patreon subscribers at the very end of March. And it was all about us knowing that like we are self-actualizing. You know what I'm saying? We are getting to understand the duality. I don't know if triality is a word. You know, I'm gonna make shit up. Triality, okay. Quadrupality, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? All those different parts of us are coming together in order to create the reality that we truly want. And it's just about us sending that energy out there even more and having faith. You know what I'm saying? Being hopeful and also being full of charity. It's always important to give to yourself and give to others on this path of ascension. So how can you stay grounded in this? So as we are finishing through, you know, I give a little card ASMR. As we are finishing through, oh wow, we got a jumper. Listen, I gotta get out of the bed for this one because she went flying. You know what, let me tell you what fell on the floor. Okay, our message is trust. Ooh, child. Trust that goes along with that sense of faith. How do you recognize that, like, you had to trust yourself up until this point, even in moments where you were, like, second-guessing if you were going to be able to do it? Second-guessing whether or not you had the juice. You know what I'm saying? Did you have your go-go juice? Was you really that girl? Are you really that girl? Trust that you're that girl. And also keep in mind that, like, even in the shadows, there is light. You have to call the light in. You are the light to turn yourself on, turn everybody else on around you, and know that as long as you're riding in your true self, as long as you're riding in your true light, everything will fall into place. Trust is the number 16 card in this deck. This is the Sacred Symbols Oracle deck by Marcella Kroll. It says, step into the unknown. All may not be revealed at this time. Trust in unseen forces. Meditate on this to let go of all attachments or possibilities. Free yourself from your dharma and increase your trust in your guides and increase your trust in the universe. So I know some people are probably like, what is dharma? Dharma is described as the eternal and inherent nature of reality. Okay. Cosmic law underlying right behavior and social order. It's basically just like your aspect of truth. what is your truth at this very moment in time, and how do you allow that to ring free from the mountaintops? Okay, listen, I almost gave very Maya Angelou, ring free from the mountaintops. Okay, and allow yourself to trust that the right people will always see the light at the right time. You have to have faith. You have to continue to affirm your intentions list, your crystals, your people, your journal. Like, give yourself these practices in trusting and allowing yourself to call in the life that you know that you deserve. And then sometimes, you know what I'm saying, like the Lord, the universe, God, your higher self, like they may not reveal everything to you at one time because it could be a little overwhelming. You dig? And this is a moment for you to just remember, like, all is working in divine timing in my favor because I set it to be. And even if it doesn't seem like that, keep an open mind and look at things from a different perspective. Our last piece of advice is going to come from, oh, wow. So they said, listen, because I was about to say what I noticed is like when I shuffle cards, sometimes they'll shuffle, sometimes they won't. And they were like, no, girl, like you already know what the message is. It's the first thing that's going to come on top. And it's use your mind wisely. And this is funny because this is a theme that we are having to endure throughout the rest of the month of April or just like this season. It's just like your intellect. You are so smart. Like, you are so smart. You are so intuitive. You are so instinctive. Give yourself a little bit of grace right now and know that sometimes you don't have to put your mind on things that are not right in front of you because that's just wasted fucking space, okay? That's just wasted energy, wasted time. And it's very important for you to know that, like, your gift of intelligence, your gift of love, your gift of compassion, your gift of discernment is what you are focused on in this season. Intelligence means recognizing the value of intuition. Partner with smarts and common sense, which leads to intelligent solutions. So this is all about a full body alignment right now and allowing the spirit to bless you with wisdom, nudge you into open-minded, thoughtful dialogues. This is being open about where you are, what's going on, like a different level of communication, a different level of connection with your people, with yourself. What are your practices that allow you to talk to people a little bit more openly? You know what I'm saying? Let people know where you're coming from. State what your true desires are and, like, stop hiding. You know what I'm saying? Stop hiding in the shadows. This is your time to truly step out. The number 47 breaks down to the number 11. So this is in numerology. The number 11 is a master number. And this master number is all about you kind of just like being able to manifest what your desires are. Higher intuition, spiritual insight, sensitivity, natural intelligence. This is both mental and physical. This is a season for you to notice that, like, your power is back. How did you claim your power? How did you reclaim your power and reclaim your time? Okay. Mm. And how can you use that reclaim power and reclaim time to soar and float throughout the rest of this year, especially through spring? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a time where things are connecting. People are noticing you. You're getting new opportunities, new jobs, new everything. But it's all about you knowing that you don't have to force a round peg, you know what I'm saying, into a square hole. It should be natural. It should fit easily. You don't have to go above and beyond in order to make the things that you know are deserving of you work. And it's all about divine timing. So in this season, how are you trusting that you are wise? How are you trusting that you know what is supposed to give and you about to give it what is supposed to give? You know what I mean? Like, go ahead, give yourself some time, some peace, some opportunity to move out of this space of analysis paralysis. Let your mind rest. Give yourself moments to, trust your intuition. Release your tight hold on facts, unsolved puzzles, and let some things fall into place this season. And that's how we win. That's how your dreams come to pass. That's how we are sitting in front of you today, letting the flow happen even when we didn't recognize where the flow was taking us. But the river, I was born by the river. River.
It was I was born by the river. I was shaking that ass. But it was very much so giving me, let it go.
Okay.
Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Okay. Everything's gonna work all right, you know. Just let me get my Toni Braxton voice.
Okay, listen, because you took me way back. I was about to say, I don't even know if everybody know about that TB, Miss TB out here. praising and blessing the girls. But no, that is exactly it. Like, it's giving very let it flow, let it grow, and know that you are the show. Come on, bars. Come on, yes. Bars. Okay, listen, okay, maybe my rap career will take off in 2021. You never know, okay? But no, that is the message for the month of April. Like, I want you guys to focus on what you've already done. Don't get caught in your bag. Don't get caught outside yourself. Like, remember how to reground, recenter, refocus, and know that everything is happening in divine timing, in divine flow. And just, you know, put your energy, put your mind into the things that are actually worth your time. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, all that stress, all that anxiety, like, it really doesn't do anything productive. So this is a moment for you to really just, like, stay the course and ride the wave. And that's the tea on today.
Surfboard.
Okay, surfboard. Rain on it. Rain on it. Rain on it. Okay, you know, because I start getting all excited. Yes. And shit. Okay.
Just let it flow. But yes, thank you so much, Gangsta Gurry, for this week's premonitions, Purple Pants premonitions. And if you want more of this goodness that Purple Pants premonition gives, make sure you guys follow Gangsta Gurry. Where can the people follow you at? What you got going on? What's the tea on the Patreon? Let us know.
Okay, so listen, you can find me at Gangsta Gurry, Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that. E-R, busted.
Buster.
Okay, listen, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Miss Twitter, or you can subscribe to my Patreon, where I like to share kind of like some personal things, you know what I'm saying? I like to give updates, spiritual updates, check in, see what's the tea, you know what I'm saying? And help us kind of like continue to grow, because listen, we have been, it's kind of crazy, like even talking about this, I've had that Patreon for over 2 years, so just like seeing the growth of it and seeing like the community I've been able to build has been a blessing, and I would love to have you come join us over there. You know, get with the winning team. Like Miss Jocelyn Hernandez would say.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you so much. And listen, we gonna let it flow on out, and we will talk to you in the near future.
Nice. See you soon. Hallelujah. Holla.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And just like that, we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And this week's Freak of the Week is very near and dear to my heart. And if you are a member of the Purple Pants Posse, it's near and dear to your heart, too. I don't even know where to begin with this week's Freak of the Week, but I'll start last week. The Circle announced that, guess what? They are coming back. They are starting up the U.S. Circle Season 2 this Wednesday, April 14th. And you wouldn't believe who is on there. None other than the Purple Pants Posse's own, my friend, our Survivor News correspondent, the baby boy that is Jack Atkins. Yes, baby boy is on The Circle Season 2, and I can't say enough how proud I am of Jack for getting on The Circle and for living in his truth. I met Jack about a year and a half ago. I went to South Africa with the baby boy Wendell to compete in the Battle of the Bush for the Nailady Christian Academy. And Jack was one of the Survivor fans that participated in it. And instantaneously, the moment that I met Jack, I knew that he was hilarious and funny. And after we got back from the Battle of the Bush, Jack reached out to me and said, I love what you're doing with the podcast. I'd love to help in any way, shape, or form. And over the last year, Jack has been acting as my manager and helping me where in the areas that I need help. And best believe, baby boy needs a lot of help.
I know that Jack's dream is to be on Survivor. He is a huge Survivor fan, but he also, you know, loves the Circle. And I remember when Jack was telling me that he was applying for the Circle. He sent me his video. I gave him my critiques of, you know, it was a process. And, you know, I told him this, I told him that. I told him to redo it. We know we finally got to a final product and, you know, he sent it in. And I just remember the whole process of Jack, you know, just this. And I remember when he called me and said he got a call back and he was just in this process. And I'm so happy for Jack. I can even get emotional because when I think about the relationship that Jack and I have formed, not only has he been a supporter of mine, he's been a great friend to me. He's like a little brother. And I just love me the baby boy Jack, and I'm so excited for him. And so even when Jack was getting ready to go on the Circle, you know me, I had to make sure, listen, if you my friend, if I say you my friend, I mean it. And I was, you know, very concerned about Jack's image. So I don't know if the Purple Pants Posse remembers, but a couple of months ago, I flew out to Chicago to hang out with Jatia. But the real reason of the trip was I wanted to fly out to Chicago because that's where Jack goes to school, the University of Chicago. I wanted to help Jack pick out his looks for the Circle. It was a challenge. So I took baby boy shopping and, you know, any look that I had, he fought me nail and tooth. And I'm like, no, Jack, you would look great on this. No, Jack, do this. No, Jack, do that. And, you know, Jack is very outspoken, but he listened to me. He trusts me. And we were able to kind of just get his wardrobe together for the Circle. And so I'm just so excited for Jack. And I am so happy that my Purple Pants Posse has shown their love and to support for Jack. The other day, Jack and I were on the phone and just out of nowhere, Jack said to me, Bryce, I have to say, since I announced that I was on the Circle on social media, I have to say the most love that I have received is not from, you know, my family, not from my college friends, not from my elementary school friends, but the most love that he has received was from the Purple Pants Posse. And he just was saying that he never realized my impact and the fact that, you know, the love that I have from him bleeds through to the Purple Pants Posse, and that he was just so grateful that I would lend my support to him. And I'm like, lend my support to you? Baby boy, I love you. You my brother. You my friend. You the baby boy. And so from the bottom of my heart, Purple Pants Posse, thank you so much for showing up and showing out for our baby boy, Jack Atkins. And this Wednesday, April 14th, the Circle premieres. So make sure y'all got y'all Netflix ready. Make sure y'all are ready to go hard, because y'all know I don't play about you. It's a couple of people in this earth that I don't play about, and that's Miss Bob, that's my friends and family, that's the baby boy Wendeezy, and I am humbly glad to add Jack to that list of people that I don't play about. So make sure you know what you need to do, Purple Pants Posse. If you are not following Jack, make sure you follow the baby boy at JAtkins21. Go to that photo where he premiered that he's going to be on the Circle and let him know he is the freak of the week. Jack, if you're listening, I'm so proud of you. I love you. Kill it. Okay, I know I get on your nerves. You get on my nerves too. You know, Dad wants us to be together. But Jack, you are the freak of the week. Kill it on the Circle. And if baby boy Jack Atkins is our freak of the week, that means we are coming to the end of episode 87, Bermuda Triangle. I appreciate you guys for hanging in there with me. I appreciate you for showing your love and your support. If you could be so kind to make sure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from, make sure you hit that subscribe button. You know my Uncle Pookie got the podcast on the back of his truck. So if you around 52nd Street, you know you can subscribe there. Please make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars. Okay. Write a review. Okay. And make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that baby boy, our own Purple Pants Podcast member, Jack Atkins, is on the Circle, because it's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the
the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.